What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Renovations and remodeling for the athletic training facility. This week, I've got Mike Hopper and Brendan Swede. Mike Hopper, of course, everybody on social media knows Mike Hopper, but he's in the process of planning a new facility, and so he's been working with Brendan about some of the best ways to do that, and then he's also talked to a lot of different people about things as part of the planning, but he's also done some renovations in the athletic training facility that he's in. Brendan works for Collins Sports Medicine, so he's a great kind of go-between the products and the athletic trainer, and has a lot of different insight that we typically don't have as athletic trainers. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/renovation, and every single time I've typed in renovation, I've typed it with two, but that's incorrect. So it always auto corrects or shows the little squiggly red line. So renovation is R-E-N-O-V-O-T-I-O-N. So it's renovation, not double N, renovation. sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/renovation. All right, Mike, welcome back to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Tell me a little bit about what is the time frame. What are we looking at for the new facility?
Well, they keep changing our time frame. So I've heard anywhere between, 2 years to probably pushing 2021, 2022. So we're looking 3-4 years probably.
Okay. So
hopefully sooner.
You're looking at 3 or 4 years out. So tell me what that looks like now for you. What are they saying? Hey, what are some ideas? What are some dream budgets? What are some, just what does that look like right now?
So right now they haven't really said a whole lot to us from an athletic training perspective. I've been in one meeting. But when they originally met with the architects, one of the coaches told me, who was in that meeting, he goes, yeah, the architect asked, how long do you think it would take for the athletic trainer to put his wish list together? And the coach goes, let me send him a text message. You'll have it in 4 minutes.
There's no way that Word document took 4 minutes. It was very thorough.
That Word document took about 2 weeks after that meeting, and it was already halfway done. So, Jeremy, what Brendan's talking about, that Word document was probably, what, 6 pages, 5 pages, something like that?
It was awesome.
And a few years ago, we went to a conference at Baylor University. It was a sports performance conference, but we had a guy from, I believe it was like Hammer Strength or something, one of those companies, who spoke about facility renovations and, building a facility. And one of the things he talked about that, is applicable to us was have a plan ready. Have it in your drawer, because when they come asking for it, they want it. Don't wait until they ask for it to start putting one together, because it may be too late and they're just going to run with what they, with what they think they want. And do you want an architect or a school principal building your athletic training room? Probably not.
Okay, so in saying that, when you said have a plan ready, was that like a schematic, or is this these are the items and the sizes of the items? What does that mean?
So, for example, I had in this Word document that I had put together, I broke it down by spaces, right? An office space, a treatment space, a rehab space, a storage space, a hydrotherapy space, okay? So I had all these different sections broken down. And then from there, I went through and told, okay, in treatment space, I need X number of tables, right? And in between each table, I need this much space. In front of each table, I need this much space. And so then I took that from there, and I started figuring all this out. So my treatment space, for example, needs to be 20 by 20 feet, right? I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I figured that out. Okay, so my treatment space needs to be a certain number of square feet, right? My hydrotherapy, my tubs that I want are this big. They need to fit into a room. This room needs to be at least that big, and that kind of thing. And so I put my equipment in and built my space around the equipment.
I gotcha. All right, very good. That's definitely a unique approach instead of just, okay, well, you're going to have 2,100 square feet, which would be ginormous. But, you know, 2,100 square feet, what are you going to do with it? Well, this is what I want. This is how much space I need to do that.
Right.
So, okay, so.
You go the Taj Mahal.
Right, well.
2,100 feet's not big enough.
It's not big enough?
I'm going to go bigger.
Well, there you go. All right, so, Brendan, you are the one that Mike recommended. We talked to you. Said you've been pretty important in the planning and the whole preparing. So why did Mike recommend you?
I think it's probably we kind of hit it off the bat about this type of thing. I mean, I started in sports med, like athletic training, like 5 years ago, and I just kind of gravitated towards athletic training facility. And I mean, if you talk the high school version of me, I was probably the kid you hated who broke stuff and disregarded, like, or not, yeah, I was kind of like an a-hole, like, high school kid. But then you kind of, once you start working on this type of stuff in this industry, it's really, I guess, like, different people have different passions. And I just sort of gravitated towards custom athletic training facilities. And it just, me and Mike kind of hit it off the bat about what you're able to do and just seeing, like, a potential for, like, a vision, I guess. We kind of had similar visions of what an athletic training facility can look like. And I don't know. I think it's not really a space where there's a ton of people who specialize in it. And so it was kind of just a serendipitous kind of connection there for working on Mike's facility. I know every company's got vendors got their people who do it, but our ideas kind of went in line together, and it just kind of worked out that way. And I mean, I like the timing of it was perfect too, because it was right sort of in that athletic training, not slow season, but slower season. And so I was like, heck yeah, let's get going on it. And I mean, he laid the blueprint, and I have, with something like this, there's so many cool ideas that you can throw out there. And I mean, Mike's the kind of guy who's like, if you got a cool idea, let me hear it. It's not like, I want the bare necessities and I want to get it through right now. It's a vision, and it kind of just worked out that way.
All right, so you got a passion for athletic training facilities, and you're kind of specializing in that. So that's really a good idea, because you're helping them work through the process and not just, well, here I have this product to sell you, but hey, man, let's help really make this plan come true. So, all right, very good. Through this and planning, right? So Mike is planning for a new facility, but we're also talking about renovations and remodels. And I know on Facebook, I asked the question, hey, what have you guys done? So a lot of people have done something like painting, where they just put their logo on the wall, or they've, you know, done something to spruce it up. We've done a couple different things where we mounted TRX mounts on the wall on the outside. We had cabinets moved. We've bought a dishwasher and put it in. We put in sinks. We put in some wire shelving. So Mike, why don't you take a minute and talk about some of the things that you've done there at your current facility to help improve it and make it a more workable space for you?
So the biggest thing we've done, I would say, at our school, is 2 years ago, we put a new ice machine in. And, you know, we went from a machine that was making 500 pounds a day to making 1500 pounds a day, which, also required, we had to move that little area around because this new machine was not going to fit anywhere close to the area where the old one was. But then also we had to run new water line for that reason. Right. And the old machine was on the normal, you know, your standard electrical outlet. Whereas this new machine runs on a 208 or 220, whatever those numbers are. And so they had to come out, and the electricians had to come out and run all of that, you know, and that whole project was an adventure in itself, because the ice machine barely fit through the door. So we actually had to take the door off to get the ice machine, to get the bin in. The problem is our door is hooked up to our IDs, like the electronic scanner. So we couldn't really disconnect the door. You know, you can't just take the door off the hinges and set it aside. It's still connected. So we had to, you know, kind of wiggle our way through that door there. Other things we've done, you know, is we've tried to keep moving our tables around to try to find the best placement of them to create a workable area. When I first came here, we had a little area. We had four tables that went side by side, right, with some space between them. And that worked, except you had very little space in between each table. So, you know, I was talking earlier about spacing. You know, when I do my treatment area, I need X number of feet in between each table for spacing. And I didn't really know what that number should be. So I asked Jim Barry, you know, what he does. And he says 3 feet. And I started laughing because I went and measured ours, the space between our tables. And the furthest was 22 inches. The smallest gap was 14 inches between two tables. So you're talking, you know, you're squeezing in there. And so then we tried a different, we moved them around a little bit more and moved the angles of the tables. And that worked okay, except now we had end to end almost a foot apart instead of, you know, again, not much space there. What we've moved to now is in that same little area, we have one table against one wall, another table in a corner, and then two tables side by side that are actually basically creating a mat platform. So.
All right. So definitely some interesting thing. You mentioned the space between. What did Jim recommend as far as a space between?
And I actually think at some point NATA provided guidelines for that.
Maybe
probably. Like 2013, 14. I remember something came out with they recommended like what you should have for treatment for a number of athletes, and then they also recommended like spacing between. So I think 3 foot's like I think what they recommended, but also it depends on space and like the AT way, you kind of make do with what you got.
So 3 foot is the recommended spacing there.
Right, and you figure you got a modality cart between that's usually 24 inches to 30 inches max. So you get like a little bit of wiggle room on either side and then a modality cart between.
Yeah, see, I know one of the deals that we have is we have like the modality cart or whatever it is sitting next to the table. So if there's anybody even as wide as me that lays on the table, then they have to like scoot down a little bit because my shoulders will hit both sides of the table because the tables are pressed up against the treatment table. And so, yeah, that's definitely a good idea. Just it doesn't always work. So
it's tough sometimes too. You gotta like sacrifice either space or sacrifice functionality. So it's kind of like you kind of play with it. Like Mike said, you rearrange. That's pretty creative doing 2 tables to make a mat,
mm-hmm.
and then you get more space between.
That wasn't my idea. that credit goes to Lindsay.
It's an interesting idea.
So I better make sure I give that credit right. I may get myself in trouble otherwise.
Yeah, and you know, like I see ours and I see the other athletic training facilities within our district, and you know, some of them are nice and big, and then I see some of these ones that people on the secondary school's Facebook group post, and they're literally like a closet with the breaker boxes in the back. You know, it was an electrical or a janitor closet, and they just said, okay, well, let's make this a athletic training facility, and there's no way you could put 2 treatment tables in there, much less make them a mat and then have something else. So again, work with what's in your situation and continue to improve there. All right, so Brendan, what are some of the things that right off the bat you were like, hey, Mike, you have got to check this out. You've got to try this.
So I think, Mike's an unusual case or an atypical case because he was ready to go. So, I mean, like something just as simple as treatment table with like storage. There's so much you can do right now with the treatment table, like a cabinet table, and you can get, they can run up to, in quote, like $3,400, $3,500 cabinet treatment tables, which compared to what we were selling a few years ago is you could get 7 treatment tables for $3,500, but it's just a matter of like, what does it do? Why does it cost this much? Like something like completely customizable storage, modality, pass through on either side drawers, flush mount handles versus wire pull handles. You're saving 2 inches on either side, but it adds up when you have 6 tables and that space is a must. So like even something like treatment tables was, I think on pretty much most of the quotes we do now, we quote the Cadillac out because when you see it in person, you're like, this isn't your everyday run-of-the-mill table. It's a this thing kicks butt. And then, I mean, high-low tables, you can look at, like, the Athletic Edge last table, for example, that leg and shoulder therapy compared to a typical high-low. I mean, it depends. Like, if you got baseball and basketball, primarily just the shoulder functionality with it is unbelievable. What else do we look at, Mike? We looked at that gym racks. Quick, you like that, seeing it on the internet.
Yeah.
Something like that.
One of your other high schools put that in, right?
That was Dexter School, had the gym racks on there.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of – they're out of Texas.
Okay.
And it's a just kind of like a completely customizable to fit your needs and store – like space, storage slash like rehab and like S&C rack. So you can get your BOSU ball storage, TRX mounts, foam roller storage, med ball storage, rebounder right underneath, and squat rack. Mm-hmm. And you fit it into a 8x8 maybe, or 8x6, as opposed to having 14 different items that you quote out. And when you're doing a blueprint to present it, it's 14 different blocks of space. So, I mean, really whatever you're looking at, there's something out there that's gonna be the Cadillac, and then depending on what you're looking to do, goes down to the, I don't even know what a lousy car is, my car. So what else? We looked at Grim tubs also versus standard high, like a Whitehall Whirlpool,
right?
Which there's nothing wrong with, like, I love Whitehall, and it's just a matter of what's gonna best suit your student athlete population. What's going to make your life easiest? Like, if you present this as an investment versus, like financial burden, it's kind of like a easy choice to make for people a lot of times when they're building a new facility. So, I mean, Mike already had that like marked down. Like, we need a dual system grim tub, and that's kind of for a high school. It's not unusual, but it's less common. But it's definitely something that if you're spending $12 million on a new facility, it's a drop in the bucket, no-brainer type of deal.
Yeah, you know, and with those tubs, one of the things that I look at is, you know, if I just go buy a regular stainless steel Whirlpool, you're still going to spend several thousand dollars. Obviously not, you know, the grim cost, but you're spending several thousand dollars. Whereas if you buy the tubs that are built in and, you know, and they have the systems in them, they're relatively maintenance free. You buy the stainless steel. Now I've got to fill it with ice. I've got to fill it with water. I've got to adjust the temperature every day. And so that's more work.
You're also cleaning it
and things like that, you know, whereas with the other tubs, if I can set that temperature at 52 degrees, it's always at a constant 52. I'm not putting a 900-pound, you know, bin of ice into the tub to get it cold enough to do ice baths every other day. You know, that kind of thing.
Yep, there was a bunch of there's a bunch of like really kind of, I guess, relevant selling points for that grim tub, and it's just a matter of people getting over that price tag difference versus stainless steel versus a built-in. I mean, you look at Grim, HydroWorks. What's the other one that everyone does?
Swimex.
You look at just what they can do versus like a regular Whirlpool, and I guess it's the hot cold as well. You can do a contrast tub, and and it saves us in the long run. It saves the school money, but it's just getting over that initial price tag shock.
Yeah, but you know, and I know Brennan, you and I have talked about it, and Jeremy, we've talked a little bit. You just talked with Kathy Derringer and Jim Barry about, you know, the value stuff. And, you know, we're collecting all that data this year. I can tell you in the fall semester, we did 230 ice baths. We've done 30-something this semester. You know, that all adds up when you think that really doing an ice bath takes 50, 70, 100 pounds of ice each time, you know, or more. That adds up pretty quickly in maintaining your ice machine. Those things aren't cheap either, you know, and so when you're running through an ice machine because you break it because you're using it so much, you know, again, over time that cost savings comes in.
Right. And you're working that ice machine too in summertime in Texas. It's especially if you got one facility or one main facility and you're filling coolers, filling bottles, ice baths, treatment. It kind of it's just it's something that a lot of people, it's nothing wrong with it and you have to do it. But if you have the benefit of being able to shoot for the something like a Grim Tub, then it's a definitely something worth looking into.
Mm-hmm. Mike, as you guys are looking into creating a new facility, have you looked at the option of having a weight room connected to your athletic training facility, similar to like Northeastern University where Mike McKinney works? Because, you know, they have the strength training and there's a lot of rehab stuff that goes into the weight room. And so the way they built theirs or designed theirs, it was kind of connected. So it pretty much opens up into the other. Have you considered that aspect as well?
We didn't really consider that. I was at my previous school in Illinois. Our athletic training room was actually inside of our weight room. And which in the way it was designed wasn't ideal. I'm sure that the way Mike has it set up there, you know, I'm sure the way that it was built there, it was designed with that in mind a lot better than ours. But actually our facility will be completely separate from everything else, which actually is exactly what I want. You know, we're not next to locker rooms. We're not next to coaches' offices. We're not next to the weight room, not next to the wrestling room, you know, anything. But it's a more central location that is not sport specific, which allows us to include, you know, all 27 of our sports. Whereas now we're surrounded on three sides by football, you know, and I guarantee there are people who stay away because we're surrounded on three sides by football. And a 20-year-old building that's built out of concrete, let's just say there's a little stench there.
Right, for sure. Yeah, and then and all the noise, it comes through the walls, and yeah, I definitely understand that.
I was playing like 8 years ago, and I still stink.
You know, and the other thing, and that's part of our design process with what we put together, is that we basically want to create almost a, you could say like a mini weight room, within our rehab facility. You know, we want to put in some sort of rack system so we can do our TRX, do our squats, things like that, so that we can work as a sports medicine team in through those processes without A, leaving the training room and leaving, you know, kids unattended, and B, we can spend more one-on-one time with those individual kids coming back from injury as they work themselves back into lifting weights.
Right, which even something like having your office with a open window and having, say, like we looked at the gym racks, with you can have a fold-out squat rack, something like doing one-legged RDL, you can observe, and you can, like, say they're a few weeks out of surgery or rehabbing for a few months, and if they develop a bad habit, you're able to see that if it's within the athletic training facility versus if they're going to a separate room, you're kind of, they could develop a bad habit and you might not be able to notice it. So it's kind of, it's
sure.
I think for the most part, when we do an athletic training facility, you're if possible, you're going to have your rehab section with your rebounder, your TRX, a squat rack, kettlebell, just the space to be able to do what you're saying.
Right, so that's definitely one of the things. Our weight room is actually across the street. Like it's an old elementary school gym that the elementary school was torn down, but they left the gym so that we could use it because it's right beside our football fields. And so our weight room is over there. So if we want to send a kid to do weights, then there is no way I'm going to be able to supervise because that's literally across the street. They have, you know, go over the bridge, that kind of thing. And it's not anywhere close to athletic training facility. So we've done some of those things. We've mounted TRX stuff on the walls outside of the athletic training room. We've purchased some kettlebells that we can take out into the hallway and use. Our training room, I think, is like 15 by 40. So it's basically like a hallway. So there's not really a lot of room to do rehab in there, but just like you said, we've moved tables around, we've added shelves, we've done things to make it work for us. So Brendan, what are some of the favorite things that you see going into athletic training rooms? Let's say like mid to small budget athletic training rooms to help improve the facility. So not necessarily like a Bosu ball or a TheraBand, but things that are there for the facility, like you said, maybe the table, that kind of thing.
So for like rehab or for just improving like functional space in general?
For the functional use of the facility, whether it is wall-mounted racks or whether it's a table that doubles as something else.
So, for example, I'm doing a or working on a school in upstate New York now, and she's replacing six of her treatment tables. And so instead of having three on one wall, three on the other wall, she's going to put six on one wall with a pass-through modality drawer. And this was her idea. She wanted the – she asked, like, we had the engineers reconstruct the table to put the pass-through modality drawer on the head end of the table where the adjustable backrest would be. And so she can kind of put them closer together. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't need the 36 inches because you don't have the modality in the middle. And she's smaller than, like – or she's petite. So she doesn't necessarily need the 3 feet. It would be ideal to have it, but – so something like that where it's kind of like a case-by-case, like this works for me situation where she's putting those and she's having the electrical outlets moved to, I think, like 5 feet. So she's having them 5 feet between each table. So she can have that pass-through modality plug into either outlet, and something like that saves her the entire opposite wall. So it's no longer treatment table. She can use that opposite wall as rehab space.
Hey, so before we move on from there, the pass-through, is that like a shelf underneath to where, like, if I slide it out to the right, there I can get to the modality, or I can slide that same drawer to the left to get to the modality?
Right, you can slide it either way, and you can have, so say you want to alternate, you have game-ready, Normatec, modality, it kind of gives you the, like, ability to, you can utilize the Normatec from one table on a table to the right or a table to the left. And you can utilize a game ready to the right and to the left and to that table. So it just kind of gives you more possibilities to, I guess if you got like, say it's football season, fall season, and your athletic training facility is packed, it just kind of gives you the opportunity to treat more efficiently.
I got you.
And so, yeah, it's just basically opens, it goes either way, and it's easy to do. It's just the hinge on either side, or like the little, like the stopper. And so you see Houseman, Athletic Edge, Bailey, they all make it now. And it's a cool idea. I still prefer the modality cart between, but in a situation like that where you're trying to, it gives you the chance to open up an entire half of your space, they can be very beneficial.
I got you. All right, so besides treatment tables that have been kind of re-engineered or that allow the pass-through, what other things have you seen athletic trainers asking for to improve their facility?
So I think something like the gym racks is really cool. It hasn't really caught on yet, but something like that where, or even like a fold-out squat rack, fold-out wall mount table, just something like that where if you need to fold it up, you can utilize that space to, you can do lunges, you can do, just have an open rehab space. Versus if you have like a 4x6 mat table that's taking up a quarter of your room, then it's kind of, it's not wasteful, but it's something that could be utilized better.
So you're saying a fold out, so it's kind of like a collapsible bed or whatever it is. Like it, when you're using it, you just pull it out from the wall. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would just fold up to the wall so it's taking up 2 inches of space as opposed to 4 or 6 feet. So 24 square feet. So, I mean, something like that is something a lot of high schools think about is if I want a kid to do lunges in here, where the heck's he going to do them? Or is she going to do them? Trying to think of what else we do. For, like, utilizing space mainly or saving space?
Sure.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of, like, what's cool and innovative. There's a lot of, like, simple stuff you can do, like something like the outlets, moving them up high, something like moving the taping station to the door, just so foot traffic's not coming through the room. It kind of opens up the middle of the room. So, I mean, there's a lot of simple stuff where you don't need to buy anything new or anything that's crazy expensive.
All right, so I just saw somebody on there on Facebook mentioned that they were waiting for security because their athletic training room was broken into again. So what do you have in the way of making sure items are secure? What do you guys really, what do you really like to make sure things are secure? Mike, Brendan?
So I think, like, for example, with Mike's facility, we have lockable storage throughout, and he will have him and Lindsay and whoever he deems fit will have the access to it. And so something like if you're – so say you're doing your whole facility through Houseman or Athletic Edge or whoever, Bailey, Clinton, whoever, Dynatronic. You can have them – like they every key that they make comes with a serial number. And so say you want – say you you deem it okay for coaches to have access to a storage closet that'll have 1 through 10 dumbbells, rehab bands, TheraBar, that type of thing. You can have the keys made where that key works for that, but stuff that Mike doesn't necessarily want every single person in the school grounds to have access to, he can have his keys, and then he can have also a key that works for something that is appropriate for everyone to have access to. And so usually it's just something you do when you're building or getting new stuff. It's kind of difficult to do it retroactively.
Right.
It's usually most of the time you're better off just going to, like, if you have stuff already, you go to Home Depot, you buy a bolt lock, and but I mean, when you're doing it, you kind of have some pretty cool options for picking and choosing what you want people to have access to.
Yeah. So for example, in this room, like I said, I'm in our smaller athletic training room. I'm going to try to show this here. These cabinets have no locks on them. No locks were ever put in when they put them in. Well, unfortunately, every staff member on this campus has a key to this door, so they can get into this room, you know, and they tend to leave that door unlocked. And so now kids have access to this room. And we don't, you know, we have all these drawers here, but we really don't have much in the way of supplies in them because they were just disappearing. You know, we'd go through twice as much tape in here as we would out in our main facility. And I'm going, I'm not treating anybody in there. Why are we going through supplies? But kids are just coming in and taking them, you know. And so that's one of the things that Brendan's added to ours, because originally we were going with a pretty basic table, right, with an adjustable back, just like we have in our training room right now. It was just – they were the Clinton tables that had the adjustable back. They're made out of stainless steel. Solid table and relatively inexpensive. But what Brendan turned us on to was these cabinets. Because we're looking at putting in probably twice as many tables as we have now, and then creating, putting cabinets on all of them, locking cabinets on all of them. We've just added so much storage space that simply does not exist in what we have today. You know, and so then we can lock all that stuff up, which is critical, right? But then also, it will allow us to put stuff away, and we can now make this room very presentable when we have, you know, different school functions, where this room's going to be a highlight of our athletic program, right? And so, and you know, again, being in a private school, we've got to convince these kids to come to our school. Well, now we can put all of this stuff away. We don't have crutches hanging off tables. We don't have, you know, dumbbells sitting underneath the tables. Everything's put away. It's in the cabinets. It all is gone, right? You know, when we have weekend events that we're not on campus for, they don't have access to it. So those are the types of things that I think those cabinets will be very beneficial to us, that type of table.
Right, and then you can also, with those cabinets, you can pretty much, companies now, or manufacturers will do whatever you need. So mm-hmm. If you say, I have something that's, I want to be able to put my crutches in this cabinet, they can build specific crutch storage cabinets, or maybe mm-hmm. Accessory cabinets that have crutch storage. And it's just kind of mm-hmm. Right now the way things are going, it's specialization and customization, and it's just kind of the natural flow of things was heading in this direction. I think it really speaks to the growth of athletic training in general.
All right,
or just kind of the prominence.
So, Brendan, in just a second, I'm going to ask you some tips on, like, getting the best deal when customizing. So kind of think through that as I talk through some of these other things here. So maybe ways that people can avoid, like, customization fees or that kind of thing. So some of the different ideas that came through on the Facebook question, I know Clayton Adams had made a homemade hydrocolator pad, basically like a 2x4 with dowels sticking out, right? So if you have the skills and the tools at home, that's something that should be pretty easy as far as you just cut off a piece of 2x4, cut off the dowel rods, and you just glue them into the little holes. Like I said, painting walls and logos, it does change and makes the kids feel more welcome whenever they have the big logo and you have something instead of just the white paint peeling off the walls, kind of like ours is. If you have a background in construction, like Mike Overman did, he completely remodeled. He got his school board to approve it. They paid for like half of the labor that had to be done by a licensed contractor. And then, you know, he built a whole area by himself because they took one room that was connected to his and tore that wall down. They doubled his office space. So if you have some connection like that, again, you can hit up Mike Overman on Facebook and ask him to send you the pictures. It's really cool, all the work that he's done, and it was really impressive. Scott Little said that they put 3M strips on things and hang them on the walls. So you can do like the Velcro 3M strips, or if you have, you know, those 3M strips with hooks, because then you're not having to drill into the wall and cause problems like that. But those things stick pretty well. You can use, like, go to Lowe's and they have the garage chests, so storage chests, and you can store stuff in there. And you can also put magnetic hooks on there for like the TheraBands, because those things are always getting tangled up in our box because just kids just throw them in there. And then also, somebody said that they take the garage organization system, so it's like a rail system kind of thing, and then they just turned it vertically because it's supposed to go left or right, but they turned it up and down. And then you can easily use that for TheraBand. You can attach like a hook on there and then adjust the TheraBand so you can use it at any height. And I've screenshotted the comments there, or the whatever it is. So if you search on the secondary school's Facebook group, if you're looking for that, I've screenshotted that in the show notes so that's easy to see. All right, so Brendan, we're coming back to you again. If we're looking for getting some things that really fit our area, what are going to be the best tips, best ways, best things to say or best things not to say to avoid having to, okay, well, there's a customization fee for that, or well, there's an extra fee for that. So what are the best ways to do that?
So I guess it would just be, it's kind of like, for example, with Mike, we kind of shot for the moon with a lot of things. But if it came down to it, and it came down to like what's pragmatic, what's a necessity, you can always shave off of what, off of the top, like highest end thing. So like, for example, if Mike says lockable storage space is a necessity for a cabinet table, you don't need to have three accessible double door or three sets of double doors on either side. You can have just the head end of the table have double doors and then open storage underneath, and that shaves off $1,000 per table. Or like you mentioned with going to Lowe's and just being handy, that's invaluable in terms of like looking to upgrade a facility where you don't necessarily have the budget to go top end for everything or shoot for top end for everything. For example, like the Fitz Caddy is something that was created by an athletic trainer on his own in his facility, and he brought it to us initially. The Fitz Caddy, for people who don't know, it's just the 12-prong tape roll holder, 9-prong tape roll holder.
Something like that.
We've
got two of them.
Fits the space between a taping station where you have your waste bin cut out, you have your seat on either side, you have a tape roll holder, and you don't need to be reaching underneath the taping seat every single time you want to go to get tape, and it looks organized. So something like that is what he made on his own with his woodworking ability. And I've had athletic trainers from South Dakota, from Iowa, from Massachusetts who have done similar things where they make a variation of something as simple as a tape roll holder, where if you don't get it built into your taping station, it saves you $400 or $500. So I guess it kind of depends on person, and it's kind of a case by case basis, but there's Wayfair, Amazon, Home Depot are your friends in terms of getting stuff. Like you need to shave $1,000 off. You might not need a web slide. You can go to Home Depot and buy that horizontal band rack, or something as simple as learning to tie like a Boy Scout, Girl Scout knot can save you the necessity of buying carabiners with the $40 bands or tubing. So that type of thing it really comes down to the athletic trainer, who the clinician is. I guess like in general, I'm trying to think. Even me and Mike were talking before the show started, and I asked if the cabinets behind them were, they looked like a potentially like an older science room, just based on a countertop, and something as simple as if, like, usually a science wing will get redone before an athletic training facility. if they are discarding cabinetry, normally the AT will make use of something like that. And that, when you're going to propose a facility, if you already have cabinetry, that saves you $2,000 to $3,000 right off the bat.
Yeah, so definitely reusing the stuff that's already there. Maybe just say, hey, we'll use these cabinets. Can you just have them installed and we'll paint them, or, you know, we'll have somebody paint them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, even the stain, like, even staining things can, like, if you have any, I can stain and I'm terrible at doing stuff. So even something like that, then when you move forward, you can stain things accordingly and it looks less of a hodgepodge than, so that's $40 on top of free stuff is cheaper than a few thousand.
Jeremy, he does like shoveling snow though.
Yeah, you guys want to come up? we got a couple trees down right now.
There you go. I got a chainsaw that needs some running. So,
I got some fingers I don't need, or hands that I don't need, so I can get. I'll chop them off in no time. I'm extraordinarily clumsy.
All right, Mike, the best or most innovative, like, home DIY thing to improve an athletic training facility? And then Brendan, same thing for you.
The best I think the TheraBand trees that people are building really are, and we had that in the clinic when I was, when I worked in the PT clinic, because our PTs didn't want to spend money either. You know, all it takes is a 2x4 and some hooks. Now you've organized your TheraBands.
There you go. We actually, like I said, we have the TRX ones mounted outside for the rehab thing. And then we actually went to wood shop and said, hey, can y'all build us something? And so they built us like a little roller rack that you can hang the rolls of TheraBand on to cut off and that kind of thing. So that's always another option, is using the stuff that's already there with you. All right, Brendan, mm-hmm. and the athletic trainers you've been in or the ones you've talked to, what's one of the most innovative things you've seen?
So I saw a modality cart that was pretty cool that somebody got from Walmart for about $20, and it was not a modality cart by any means. It was more of like something you put in a college dorm, and it was $20. It was four bins with a top, like a solid top, and he had a Apollo laser in there on the bottom, something he uses less frequently. He had his Graston, like, ISDM in the middle, which he uses more frequently. And then he had, an assortment of lotions and Biofreeze and, analgesics in the third bin. And then he had a game ready on the top. And that was something where, I love the modality carts. I think they look awesome. With a custom logo, grommets in the back for cords. But it's not something that a lot of people can necessarily afford. So even something like a college dorm back to school shopping sale on Wayfair or Amazon, he got three of these four tier racks that he was using as a modality rack. And it kind of, versus $600 modality carts, it saves you $2,300 right there. So, I mean, anything storage wise, if you're doing a brand new facility and you want to go for it, you can definitely make it look pretty, like, awesome doing it all through one. But if you're limited on budget, anything storage related, you can find at Walmart, Home Depot, Amazon, Wayfair. There's stuff out there that's with a little innovation can solve a lot of problems for very little money.
Gotcha. Very good. All right. Any parting thoughts there before we close this up about athletic training facility renovations, remodels, things that we really should make sure we do consider or try to get into our facility?
I say
shoot.
It's kind of case by case. Like, really, like, consult with whoever you're working with on it, because, I mean, at this point, I've had a billion different scenarios, and it's kind of like playing chess. You make a wrong move and it could be detrimental. But say, if they tell you have $20,000 to spend $20,000. If they don't give you a number, shoot for the moon, see what they come back with. I mean, the benefit to, or one of the benefits to athletic training being not, I guess, like, relatively unappreciated, or I guess they really have no idea what you guys do for the most part, or what you need. So shoot for the moon. And I mean, a new weight room costs $250,000. It's not that unreasonable to ask for a $75,000 rehab facility, athletic training facility. So I would say just really, if they say go get what you need, just consult with somebody and think about it. There's always a strategy that can be in place. I mean, if you ask for the boosters, say this place doesn't look great, ask for get us a quote for what you need. You can't be too aggressive on it or else they're gonna laugh in your face. But if I think there's an appropriate strategy to take for every remodel, and there are times when different things are, it's case by case, different approaches are necessitated by each case.
All right, Mike.
So, you know, like Brennan said, shoot for the moon. That's certainly what we are doing with ours. But you got to also look at the future. Don't look at what you're doing today. Look, because when they build this thing, they want it to last 25, 30, 40 years, right? So you've got to shoot bigger, okay? You know, our room right now is 420 square feet. Well, when the school had 600 students and didn't have a full-time athletic trainer, that probably worked. We now have almost 1,100 students. We have 700 athletes. So now we have more athletes than we had students when this was built. And we have two full-time athletic trainers, you know. So what we have to look at is going into the future, where do we plan to be? But then also look at, again, our AT value model, right? We've got to have the data to support it, okay? And, in fact, I had this conversation with our school president one day when I finally showed him some of our data. And he told me, he goes, I actually need some of these, you know, how many kids are coming in here each day. He goes, I need that to be able to, for him to turn around and sell this facility to investors, right? To donors, you know, when he goes out and asks for millions of dollars, he needs to be able to support why he needs it. Right. And so we have to be able to give him the data to support that. And so when I can show that we've, you know, seen over 6,000 kids already this school year, and when we, you know, we can show, I looked it up last night, this, we just finished the third quarter. So from January 1st until last night, we had done over 400 game ready treatments. So it's not unreasonable for me to ask for 3 game ready units, right? You know, again, with the tubs, we've done over 250 ice baths. It's not unreasonable to ask for the tubs. And so you have to have the data to support what you're asking for. Otherwise, they may, you know, like Brennan said, just laugh at you.
And that's, I think justification is something that when, like we talked about the Word document, every single thing on there had justification. And I think, like, especially in your case, you've been tracking the data, and just the way things are moving in the profession, it's getting easier and easier to, or more, I guess, more reasonable to justify requests that a few years ago would have been, maybe 6 years ago would have been kind of gawked at.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a huge part, is being able to justify what you're asking for.
Okay,
and just... that I think, I was going to say, I think on a whole, it advances the profession in general, just tracking and recording data.
Yeah, I've done multiple podcasts about that, and people talk about it often, and I think we are slowly catching on to, you know, hey, it's a good idea, even if it doesn't seem like I'm doing anything right now. But I think people are catching on, and in general, we're doing a better job now than we were at this time last year as athletic trainers, and keeping record of that data. So in just one second, Brendan and Mike, I'm going to ask you to thank an athletic trainer who has been impactful. Since right now when we're recording this, it's National Athletic Training Month, and I want to make sure that you're thanking some sort of mentor. Think about that for 1 second, and then I'm going to come back to you there for your response. On the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/renovation, you can also find links to most of the stuff we've talked about, or a way to contact Mike. Mike is on Twitter or social media. It's really easy. If you're an athletic trainer and you type in Mike Hopper, he's probably already one of your friends or, you know, suggested contacts, whatever like that.
Brendan, I can't find him on Twitter.
So you can't find him on Twitter?
No, yeah. He has
Go look at your water bottle. Go look at your water bottle. You'll find it.
All right. Then Brendan, it's B-R-E-N-D-A-N, Swede, S-W-E-E-D, @Collins, sports.com. So you can email Brendan if you got some questions, some follow up, maybe something specifically he talked about.
I'm the guy, the Colin Sports Twitter too. So it's the at Colin Sports.
Oh yeah.
And I'm the one who's tweeting from that all the time. Which gets me in trouble sometimes if I express opinions.
All right. So there you can go, Colin Sports on Twitter as well to get a hold of Brendan. And again, Mike might or might not share his 6-page manifesto of athletic training facility with you if you hit him up on Facebook, Twitter, email. But all you can do is ask. So contact Mike, or maybe Brendan will just back in Mike and send you a copy that he sent him.
I stole one of his ideas already. I might as well keep it going.
That's all right.
There you go. Okay, so Brendan, you've been working with athletic trainers specializing in athletic training, facility renovation, remodeling, planning. Who is an athletic trainer that has really impacted your life?
I was thinking about it. I'm going to give a shout out to my buddy Dina Kilpatrick at the San Antonio Fire. She has, in a couple of years, it went from a long shot idea what she's doing to something that has changed the industry on the whole.
Mm-hmm.
There was something that was going on before with like Fairfax County. For people who don't know, Dina is the head athletic trainer, she runs sports med for San Antonio Fire Department. I think it's something like 100 different wings of, or 100 different fire departments that report to her. The city went from a model of sending people to physical therapists or outreach to having a full-time AT on staff and an initial investment to give her what she needs over the past couple of years to kind of get it up and running. And it just kind of started as a proposal that opened up a whole new avenue of opportunity for athletic trainer. So I'll give Dina a shout out. That's my buddy. She kills it.
I could give
a million shout outs.
We're gonna leave it at just one. I've interviewed Dina, so if you want to go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/public safety. And actually on that one is pretty cool. I was pretty excited. My son had a Lego set, a fireman Lego set, so I made Dina Lego athletic
Lego
trainer 18. Scene. So it's pretty cool. She inspired me there.
Make sure it does CrossFit.
All right, Mike.
All right, so I'm going to give my AT shout out to Dr. Lopez, who is the program director of the post-professional graduate program, University of South Florida, Morsani College of Medicine. Many people know that that's where I did my master's degree at in pediatric sports medicine. So I would say that Dr. Lopez has changed the way I look at a lot of things in high school athletic training and sports safety in general, with her and, you know, everybody behind her at Corey Stringer and all of them.
All right, very good. Dr. Lopez, thanks for changing and shaping Mike, and I think creating some of that extra passion that he has for athletic training and taking care of kids, making sure things are done well and not, he's just not a negative person. He's not usually somebody who's always complaining. He's about, hey, how can we change this? How can we make this better? Dina, I am always impressed with your story. So thank you for doing something different, for making something work for you. I know as we talked, that was part of your story, was you had to find something that worked for you, but you really wanted to help some other people. And so thanks for setting the standard, for moving us forward as athletic trainers and showing the value to so many other people who don't know what we do. So it is currently National Athletic Training Month. And if you're listening to this way outside of National Athletic Training Month, then stop and say something to your mentor. Say, hey, thanks. Or if you're not an athletic trainer, then say, hey, you know, Jeremy, you were my high school athletic trainer. Thanks for taking care of me that one time that I had a hangnail or whatever it was, right? Or thanks for always being at our games, even though I never got hurt. That, whatever it is, just reach out and say, hey, I appreciate you. It really makes a big difference to us. And so, again, take the opportunity and say thanks to somebody. We talked about Frio Hydration in the beginning. We're going to be with Rob at New Orleans at the Podcast Lounge. If you want to find out more, you can join the Sports Medicine Broadcast email list, but I got links to everything there, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. This episode is renovation, so sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/renovation. I've got Brendan Swede, Mike Hopper. They talked about some of the stuff that he's got going on. So for all of us here, that is a wrap. Thanks, guys.